Listeners, please be advised that there are occasional cuss words in these episodes, so now you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty weak on the genres these days.
Yeah.
Like, there's alt rock.
Right.
No fucking idea what that means. Indie pop.
Yeah.
Alt rock.
Well, so pop is popular music, right?
Right. That I got.
And it has a certain sound to it, but indie pop is like, it's not popular, but it is pop sounding.
Right. I mean, indie to me is like indie film, like, you know, independent artist,
yeah.
Not a big label.
Yeah. It's that, I think, plus usually it has a little bit of a, like, unpolished sound or a little bit of an edgier sound to it.
Right.
All of these divisions, like, some of them mean something because they had, like, a political or larger artistic movement associated with it. But then a lot of things just straddle categories, and it's easier to call them one thing versus another because of marketing and trying to get it to people who like that kind of music.
Right.
Episode 20, Faking It. In this episode, your hosts Steve and Mal hurtle from point A to point B while educating Steve about musical genres and talking about malingering at the piano and elsewhere. Strap in for the ride to Redacted.
That's a certain sound. That's Nirvana, whatever. If you're, like, new wave, it's, like, you know, Depeche Mode, like, you know, kind of synthy and, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And that would be what again?
New wave.
New wave.
Yeah.
Boy. Back in the day, there weren't as many, and I knew what
True.
They meant.
Yeah.
There was rock.
There was rock.
There was a period where it was just rock.
Metal.
Okay. Then, yeah, heavy metal. And then punk.
Punk, yeah.
Punk came along.
And
punk,
but I feel like metal has always had other subdivisions. Because you have,
right.
like, you know, hair metal, and you have glam. You have, like, glam rock also, and, like, you know.
Okay.
All those kinds of things.
You're a lot more, dare I use the word, hip. I shouldn't use the word hip, should I?
It's also probably not terribly accurate, you know.
Well, compared to me.
Sure, okay, but...
Yeah. Right. I think my era that I, you know, like I'm most familiar with, it, like in the dentist's waiting room. And so they see me and they put it on, I feel like. Or maybe they just have it on anyway.
Uh-huh. Dad rock.
I think of it as...
That's what they call it.
Yeah.
That's quite literally a genre.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were making it up.
No.
Oh.
And I hate to say it, but Santana is dad rock.
I was thinking of Santana and the other... I used to play Santana in a band in high school.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was not the only one. The other
right.
members...
They also
ideally,
did.
They played it at the same time.
Yeah.
We used to... A big staple of ours was Evil Ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to read. What is that big, the one that Santana did at the
Black
Woodstock?
Black Magic Woman.
Well, Black Magic Woman, yeah. Yeah, what was their big one, though? And it was like Evil Ways, Black Magic Woman, and we did those.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when we had a vocalist, Robin somebody, I think, who sat in with us, who was a really good singer, and that was a treat. But I forget the big one.
Into the Night?
No, that's a good one. I like them all. The big Santana. It's just an instrumental. Woodstock.
Smooth?
No. Those are later. Santana. And then there was Oye Como Va. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
These are good. I'm a little saddened to hear it mentioned in a sort of disparaging way. Oh, Santana.
Listen, they were playing the like early 2000s music that I grew up with, like in the store where I work, and one of my younger coworkers was like, why are we playing dollar store music? And I was like, I'll kill you.
All right. Yeah, but still.
How dare you?
You were taking Carlos Santana's name in vain.
I'm not.
Oh, but
I'm just there are reporting people. Back from
okay,
the field.
All right. It's tough to hear, but I'm glad that you're not. Yeah, he was like, and probably still is, an unbelievable guitarist. Mm-hmm. One of the three greats.
Who are the other two?
I'm not going to say. No, Eric Clapton, who I'm no longer a fan of because he turned like Brexit or something. And probably anti-vaxxer. You know, so it just kind of kills the vibe for me. But great guitarist.
The good thing is there's an inoculation against that.
But I didn't take it in time. So I got like, whatever.
Yeah. Infected.
How ironic.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. And Mark Knopfler. Sultans of Swing, that riff.
Mm-hmm.
Need I say more?
Perhaps not.
No. I mean, so the these are 70s. 70s, maybe stretching into the 80s a little, but mainly 70s rock.
Mm-hmm.
Classic rock to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Santana. What the hell is that? Oh, that's going to bother me. What is that Santana?
Here. Wait.
I can almost hear the riff. It's like a big thing.
Let's see.
I don't think we tried to do that because that would have been just stupid. But there was one
Soul Sacrifice?
That's it. I think that's it. I think so.
Thank you, Internet.
Thank you. Thank you, Internet. Yes. So there was a brief period where this band I was in, which had various names. At one point, it was named Captain La Funga.
Uh-huh.
For a while, it was called Night Watch. And I forget what else we called ourselves. We had sort of name instability.
Mm-hmm.
And also musical instability, but
yeah.
So we played at some dances, which is like, you know,
pretty big.
Yeah, probably the coolest moment I had in my adolescence was being in a band, even albeit behind the keyboard. But still, we were too young for people to. I don't know. Nobody sneered as much as they really should have. And I wore this blue. Used, I don't know where I got it, pork pie hat. Why I would think that was cool, no.
Would you wear one today?
I would not be seen dead with it.
What outfit did you have that accompanied this? Did you have a piano key tie or something?
Okay, this is not going to shock you at all, but I just have to say, outfit? What do you mean outfit? I was reaching for the stars with the hat.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I had clothing on.
Sure.
Probably, if you want to call that an outfit. But, yeah, no. Tie? No.
Did you ever feel like maybe you would become a professional musician?
No, I did not. Well, no, but the closest I came involuntarily and unbeknownst to me was that years later... shout out to my classmate, Gloria Cheng, who became like the principal piano, like pianist soloist for the LA Phil, Los Angeles Philharmonic, for some of you listeners.
Yeah, for long.
Yeah, for long. A virtuoso pianist. I guess we were the same age and must have possibly been at some piano recital at the same time or whatever. But I found out like years later. So she, you know, basically became like the real deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she thought I was cool because years later she sent me two photos that she had of her with Frank Sinatra and of her with me. I mean, two different photos.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So I think she had a crush on me.
Did you have, like...
I did not know this.
At any, like... Did you have a thought to maybe Photoshop yourself into the one with Frank Sinatra and get rid of her?
No, I didn't. I was just like... That was enough for me. I didn't need to do more. Yeah, so I was, like, shocked. It was like... I might have even been a formative influence.
Sure.
You know, there was probably a moment that is long past where, you know, I was like, that's what she aspired to musically.
Uh-huh.
It was probably a microsecond, if anything, but, you know, because I had a few tunes that I, you know, like the theme to the Alfred Hitchcock, which was by Charles Gounod. I forget the name of the piece. Whatever. Okay. So that was cool. And I did some Scott Joplin. And it might be, I could be making this up. This could be total false speculation, invalid. But I think there's some cause to believe that Gloria Chain was like hearing me do these things and going like, oh, is that cool?
Did you, so you took piano lessons as a kid?
I did, yes, with Mrs. Hilbert, Florence Hilbert.
Did you want to? Or did you ask for this?
No, I did not. I was a malingerer. I had this lame excuse. She was a kindly older lady. When I would show up like weekly, you know, my parents signed me up. Not having practiced
naturally
the way I was supposed to. First of all, I would complain that my hands were cold if it was cool weather out. And then she would have me, like, maybe she had me dip them in warm water. I don't know. I could be, like, falsely remembering that because it was in 32 short films about Glenn Gould, where the masterful piano player, musician Glenn Gould would soak his hands in warm water in a sink basin before going into the concert. So it might have been me. It might have been Glenn Gould.
Very little to choose between the two.
Yeah, right. We were already confused with Gloria Chang, so why not? So the other thing I would do is, somewhat legitimately, but it basically was pretty lame, I would complain that her piano, the action on her piano, which was an upright, perfectly good upright, was stiffer than the action on our piano at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that would throw me off, at least as I complained about it.
Uh-huh.
And she was fine with this. She didn't call me out. She didn't say, you fucking deadbeat. You should have practiced.
I mean, to be fair, my students don't practice at home.
Okay. What are they supposed to practice?
Their prayers for their, like, finish mitzvah.
Right. File under, you had one job.
Well, so here's the thing. So, yeah. Like, you know, I teach fifth graders, so the ones working on prayers. And there's a kind of a feeling, to me at least, maybe other teachers would be horrified to hear me say this, but I'm like, the last ditch, like, the people who have to actually make sure they know the thing in time for their day is, like, the tutor that they get when they're in, like, 6th or 7th grade.
Okay.
Before then, you know, we do our best, but there's, like, a last, you know, little trench, which is the last holdout of somebody needing to make sure they know the stuff before they get up on stage in front of their friends and family and really flub it. But
right.
But like you can do whatever you want with the kid, but they do have to practice. Like, you know, being in class for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, you know, pretending to work once a week or twice a week, you're not going to learn it, you know?
Right.
And it's like, yeah, okay, you can work with your tutor, but you only get so many sessions with the tutor. And, like, you know, what are they supposed to do with you if you don't know anything coming into it with them.
Right. Faking it.
Yeah.
Little theme here. Faking it. I mean, I must have put in enough time on the piano in order to function and be in Captain Lafunga, Night Watch, and whatever we called ourselves after that. I think we had a decent name at the end. Don't remember. But, or to have made some sort of positive impression on Gloria Chang. Obviously, I had to put in some time. But I wasn't assiduous, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I put in more time in more recent years when I spent a little time on the jazz learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, probably in my 50s by then. And the jazz learning curve, if you've waited that long, is not an easy, you know, thing to master for the 50-year-old brain, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, bear in mind if you get to that situation.
Well, I...
Built an excuse.
I played clarinet for like a couple of years in like middle school or whatever. But I think at one point I had you write out for me the notation for the intro jazz piece that they played for the Worcester and Jeeves.
Worcester and Jeeves. I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Which we will now sing.
Yeah, so I learned to play that on the clarinet. So I guess like father like child.
I wore this blue used, I don't know where I got it, pork pie hat.
Would you wear one today?
I would not be seen dead with it.